Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Star Chamber Show podcast, and this is episode 97 and the first one of 2018. Happy holidays to everyone. Hope everyone had a great one, and I am joined tonight by my co-host, Daniel Dark, who's in the studio. Daniel, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, Stephen. Hopefully everything's going good at your place, and everybody out there, I hope they're having had a good holiday and ready to get into 2018 and be productive and show a lot of great new creative styles for everybody to see.
Well, we're certainly going to try. We sort of ended the holiday season on a little bit of a illness note, not as far as I'm concerned, but poor Holly ended up getting a really bad respiratory infection, and Michael West is also battling an illness. So we've got a few of our regular co-hosts are kind of down for the count for the moment. But I do have it that Michael is making progress recovering. I know Holly has been making progress the past couple of days, and so hopefully we'll get a full complement of hosts back pretty soon. But tonight it's you and me. We got the whole show tonight.
Well,
it's going to be an adventure.
That'll be an adventure, but we're here for it. So that's what it's all about. So let's get started on
every single sound effect that we have in our library tonight. Just kidding, everybody. We have some fun ones, but which we have not used all of them yet. But there you go. There's one. There you go. Start off with some sound effects. but it's been it was a good 2017. I mean, I've always kind of mentioned in some of the recent shows and on the Creatives Cauldron and all. It was a tough year work wise. I mean, it's definitely grueling. But looking back on it, didn't go so bad as far as getting things done. So that was good news.
Quite a lot of groundwork.
Yeah, and definitely that's for sure. And I know that Kylie Jude out there is listening in, hopefully somewhere there, and she definitely definitely was involved heavily in that recently. We got to check out a rough cut of the TV pilots for Raiden Valkyrie Saga of Lionheart, because now that's moved to the final phase of CGI effects and the final audio mix and the final scoring. And, of course, there's going to be a few tweaks from the rough cut, in terms of the actual final edit. But we definitely got some stuff that's setting the stage for hopefully a pretty cool year as far as in our camp. Of course, Imaginarium entering year five, Seven Star Press. We got all kinds of stuff going on. I mean, and of course, you were a big part of the last quarter of the year with, the release of your first novel. So that was a highlight.
Yes, it was for me at least. Whether it was for anybody else or not, I don't know.
But I know in our household it was, because I know Holly and I were both stoked. So you had at least two others.
Yes.
And I know your editor loved it, and Scott did. So that's three. So we can make a short list at least.
The feedback that I'm getting from it, very few people have had any, or I haven't had any negative about the book at all, which is a, for me and everything, being a creative and being, an author, you can't hope for anything better than that, especially when you put your life out there and you say, here's my baby, take it and, tell me what you think of it.
Right. Yeah, the first one's always extra special. I mean, I still remember my first novel coming out, and there's just something different about the first novel. I mean, you first see it in print. I mean, I think for every author, that's kind of a cool moment when you first actually hold your very first book. I mean, so you got to go through that. So I'm guessing that was kind of a different feel for you too.
Yes, that was a momentous occasion for me, especially, with the party y'all threw for me at Imaginarium, hosting, having a complete, event like that just for the release of my book. I know everybody else thought it was for the convention and everything, but, I know that it was just for
right.
the release of my book.
Yes, we did. Yeah, the fourth Imaginarium was held specifically for your book release, but we didn't totally let that out of the bag. Just, we want to surprise everybody, And speaking of which, Tommy B. Smith made the trek there, and so did Tony Acri and Will Hutcherson, all three of whom are hanging out in the chat room as I speak. Yes, we got Tommy, Tony, and Will, so got quite a gang building up in there, and they definitely were present back in October, and
hopefully David will come in there too.
Going to be there as well.
Hopefully David will be in there too, pretty soon, because he has got a lot, that he's worked on with all the photography that he did at Imaginarium for everybody.
Oh, I know.
He's been working on, going back to school even, to learn more, which is one thing a lot of people don't think about is the education part of it that they may need to, advance themselves,
Right.
Spending, about 10% of whatever your expendable income is just on, education for yourself is a great thing to do, whether it's going to conventions like Imaginarium or,
mm-hmm.
going back to school like David did.
Oh, I agree 100%. And even the stuff that's available, like what Holly and I often do when we're working in the office, and that's we pop on, very timely educational podcasts and documentaries and things like that, where we listen to stuff all the time about different social media things, the industry, craft of writing. I mean, the process is definitely part of the adventure, and you never get it all. The more you dig into it, the more you realize how much you don't know. So it just keeps expanding, and that's kind of part of the fun of it.
Yeah, it's like I'm getting set up right now for getting in equipment and everything for a live podcast or a podcast that I'm going to be doing in connection with Seven Star Press and reviewing books and doing readings on the different books that I get in and read and be able to do a little bit more of the promotion for other people.
That's awesome. Yeah, because I'm looking so forward to that, because you definitely do it well. I mean, I have to confess, I watch very little TV, and Holly's actually got me watching one TV series right now that was a British drama called Victoria, which is about Queen Victoria in her early years when she ascended to the throne. And great cast. It's got Jenna Coleman plays Queen Victoria. Tom Hughes is Prince Albert. One of my favorite actors of all, Rufus Sewell, plays Lord Melbourne. And every episode that I watch, I keep thinking of you. And if the crew that did Queen Victoria ever does another production, we've got to send something with you in it to them, because I keep getting this crazy idea that they need to merge your world and theirs so that we have Queen Victoria with her head chef, being a Jack the Ripper character. We need to merge it all together. I think that would be just the dream show. And I told Holly that, and she about fell over because she thought it was pretty awesome. It's like, but every time I see that show, I think of you. Oh my God, Holly can back me up on that.
Well, I appreciate it. I've watched the Victoria show myself, and they, you know, they're nailing it so good on that show that if people haven't seen it, that's one that I would recommend that they watch, because
yeah.
that the time period and everything is being nailed down so, you know, well in everything that they're doing there.
Yes,
and another one that they're showing right now that I another one that I've watched a little bit of that I've I think I've seen all the episodes that they've got on right now is Dickensian. And
nice,
where they merged all of Charles Dickens' books into one story.
Cool.
And that is another one that, you know, the British broadcast has put together that we get to enjoy over here some.
That is very cool. I was not aware of that one. The one I was about to mention is called Versailles, and it's about Louis the, I want to say 14th, maybe. Oh God, which Louis is it? But the one with Philippe and William of Orange and King Charles. It's really, really, really. Oh God, is it well done? My only slight quibble is you got to get used to the French characters having British accents. other than that, it's a brilliant show. I mean, oh my God, I mean yeah, because I'm like you, I love, you know, well done period pieces,
yeah,
things that are historical fiction, that kind of thing. You know, and if you want to go medieval, I think Netflix, yeah, it's Netflix, has The Last Kingdom, the Bernard Cornwell novels. Those with, you know, story of Uhtred, who's kind of like a Saxon that gets adopted by Danes and then goes back to fighting for the Saxons. And it's during the period of Alfred the Great. And oh my God, I mean, they really, really did a good job on that. I mean, in terms of the texture and the feel of it. And, yeah, I just love watching those kind of pieces. And I'm not as much into a lot of the stuff that gets huge with the pop culture as I am when I find a series that's really intelligently done, like Beast, Versailles, Victoria, you know, that one. I mean, writing good. They actually did historical research when they did the show. Those kind of things. That's what draws me. And helps me as an author, too. I mean, definitely watching well-done, well-written pieces like that, I mean, I think are part of, you know, helping that educational process you mentioned.
Yeah, that, you know, whatever your genre is, you know, if you're not plugging into, you know, things that are out there for your genre, you know, in my opinion, you're missing the boat. There's no way that, you know, we can't study everything, but we can study as much as we can study on any
right
genre. So that's the reason I'm, you know, going to be doing my readings and everything. I've got on track right now to read 52 books this year and do a podcast for each one of them as soon as all my equipment gets here. So
yeah, I can't wait to get your setup. That's going to be fun.
Monday,
oh,
so.
Man. Monday, so not too much longer then.
Not too much
very
longer.
Good.
I'll get, you know, be able to start doing the readings and stuff like that and be able to get them up online. I've got a few authors that have already contacted me about, you know, doing interviews on the podcast too, so that'll be good.
Very cool. Yeah, this is going to be an interesting 2018 for sure. I know the guys in the chat room all have some great stuff going on. I know Tony's got a whole lot of stuff going on at Hydra Publications. I mean, he's a man on the move for sure. And, of course, his press, you know, several imprints now, and they're chugging full steam ahead. And I believe, God, correct me if I'm wrong in the chat room there, Tony, but yeah, I think you are now the head of the Authors Fair in the spring, I believe. So, yeah, as far as the one that I always loved, it was founded by Frank Hall. And I think Tony is now the man, has taken over that ship as well. So But yeah, he's. I'm looking forward to. He's calling to call in and correct me. Oh God. See, look, that's
bring
the way
him
I
online.
Tony, okay, head of owner. Okay, he puts in all caps too, so he's even shouting in text here. But yes, the owner of the Authors Fair now. So, but that's yeah, I got the ballpark right though, Tony. Give me some credit for catching the announcement. But yeah, but that's always like a big spring event I look forward to a whole lot, and it's so cool because that's like one of my anchors in the spring, and then I've got my anchor, of course, Imaginarium in the fall, which for me is the spring one I get to enjoy as a guest. The fall one I have to work. So cool, different in the dynamics, but yeah, it's kind of cool how that ends up working out. And then
when and where is the spring one?
Well, I know that it's I'll watch the chat room here and make sure I get this right. But it's we may get a phone call. Who? Let's give a few seconds for that to happen. I am going to let Will Hutcherson onto the air here because I think Will is on standby in our phone bank. Will, is that you?
Yeah, can you hear me, boss?
Yeah, we can hear you, Will.
All right, cool.
How are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm all right. Oh, and Tony just said April 14th, LaGrange, Kentucky.
April 14th, LaGrange, Kentucky. See, I was holding on there because he said Rupert would be calling in, so I was pausing. But April 14th, LaGrange, Kentucky for the Authors Fair, the Kentucky Anna Authors Fair. And that's gonna be a blast, as it always is. I've been going for many years. But yeah, we'll keep an eye on the
first thing.
Oh, there he is.
Sorry.
Hold on. We got Rupert now. I'm guessing the 502 area code is Rupert.
God, yeah, hell, the other guy's busy.
Cool. Okay. You can get all my facts straight, even though I wasn't far off the mark.
Oh, come on, Steven. You know, my evil. He says I'm the evil twin. He's the freaking evil twin. He doesn't get things right, but in that case, every squirrel gets a nut, and he got that one. April 14th, LaGrange, Kentucky.
And yes, this will be the first year that you are the, as you said in the chat room, owner of this of the fair. So that's
oh, he
that's
owns it. He makes me move tables. So,
well, if you're moving tables, you're working it. That's for sure.
Well, When you riders leave, you all leave all kinds of crap that is worth finding. So, you know.
Guilty.
Yeah.
So what's it to get into that fair?
What's that again?
What's it take to get into that fair?
I left all my notebooks after I left.
Here's what it takes to get into the Authors Fair. What you do is you contact my twin at tonyacree@gmail.com. It's free for authors to attend. The fair takes a cut of what you sell unless you're a 7-star press author, and then there's usually a fee because, you know, you guys are just a little bit shady. So, you know, that's why we get charged
every year. Okay, now I know. Yeah,
well,
I wasn't going to say
put a blast out, but, you know, in that case, you know, what's the point?
Yeah, I mean, but no, it's a good event. Here's what we're kind of hoping. Everybody, we need some positive energy. No freaking tornadoes this year, all right?
No
tornadoes.
We had that last year.
Yeah, damn. Enough of that.
Hey, but congratulations on getting that book out there, Mr. Dark. So, you know, you're my kind of guy. We can hang out. You're all right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
No, I mean, I'm just interrupting you, man. So go ahead. It's your show.
All right. Had I some money, Daniel, when I, you know, first came up to you at Imaginarium this past year, I would have bought the book.
Uh huh.
You know, because
Will had blown all his cash at the Hydra tables. What happened? That's what happened.
Yeah.
Well, I'd have bought the book, but I found it on a Chinese site, pirated. So, I mean, you know, what the hell? couldn't read any of it because all it's Chinese, but you know, I can make up the story as I went. So.
Oh,
hey,
man.
Guys, you know what? You all have a wonderful evening. I'm going to go open up a bottle of Slane Irish whiskey. And I'm going to
sleep
in here because my brother has me chained to the freaking computer working on his website for that freaking author's fair, and he's got to get back to work.
Well, thank you for calling in, Rupert.
Hey, no worries. See you
all. Tell Tony Acree that I said hello.
Not a freaking chance.
See you soon. Night. Oh, Lord. God. We need to call in from him like at least once a week, at least. Oh, man. Yeah, that actually roused Holly to actually come in and say, tell everybody said hi as soon as she heard me saying that Rupert was on the phone. She that actually inspired her.
She creeping?
Not us, but Rupert.
Yeah, uh-huh. You know, she didn't care about us anymore. We're just standbys.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, well, Tony Acree definitely has the right idea if he's diving into some Irish whiskey. But I've been good. Mm-hmm. I've actually, I know Eric Jude would be just absolutely just devastated to hear this, but I have not had bourbon in over a week. So my 2018, I've not literally had a sip of bourbon yet.
Can you not find any bourbon in Kentucky?
No, I've just been so busy / watching Holly / just bunkered in here that I have not yet not procured any. So,
well,
I've got one better.
I haven't had it in about 3 weeks now. So,
of course, yeah. Tony Acree points out in the chat room: don't accept any bourbon for Eric Jude. That's probably good advice.
Well, you saw what happened
man.
At the panel.
Yeah, Eric can get you in trouble once in a while. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I can't wait till next year when Daniel's going to be on the Books and Bourbon panel, hopefully. That'll be a hoot.
Yeah, if I can get back to where I can start drinking it again, that'll be all right.
Yeah,
well,
we'll have to hold it late,
as
an evening panel. Yeah, we probably have to hold an evening panel. Tommy pointed out he probably doesn't have any left. Tommy B. Smith just pointed out that Eric Jude probably doesn't have any bourbon left. That's probably true, but Eric has a knack for coming up with magic bottles, when you don't think he has any.
Root around in the hollers.
But we will be well behaved. Don't worry. We won't get in too much trouble.
Sorry, well behaved. Those are two sentences that do not go together for you.
No. We're authors.
That's true. We are authors. So, yeah, it happens.
Kentucky authors at that. Good behavior is gone. Not a thought.
Yeah, because Tony is also a fellow Kentucky colonel as well. So I'll have to point that out as well. So Tony doesn't get out of it entirely. He's an author, and he's a creative, and he's a Kentucky colonel. So he's got all working against him.
Well, I'm like Martin Mack also.
I only found this out a couple of years ago, Stephen, but apparently my dad's mother is also a colonel.
Yep, that is true. We will have to have a colonel gathering or something at Imaginarium in the future. And
I'm sure there's something.
And we'll have to get Tommy B. Smith to move to Kentucky so we can nominate him, you know, in time for the convention next year. Oh man, we harass Tommy way too much on this show. I almost feel bad, but
yeah.
It's fun, and it gets him back every year.
I agree.
Because he just can't resist. He cannot resist hanging around us. But he guessed. I don't know if you were guys on that one when he co-hosted our 5 days out Christmas Eve special. Did you all catch that one?
I believe I called in on that one.
Yeah, that's right. You did call in on that one. Yeah, we had a lot of fun on that one.
But no, I didn't, because I was in Phantom of the Opera.
Boy, Tony is making demands in the chat room tonight. Yes, Tony, we are definitely going to talk about that performance of 12 Angry Men at Imaginarium. That's definitely on our list of things to talk to you about. Our list of things to talk to Tony about for Imaginarium is, like, massive right now. So poor guy's going to have to sit with us for, like, at least an, you know, week, you know, discuss all this. But well, we do have another piece of Imaginarium, which I'm personally very pumped about, guys, and that's the Imaginarium Initiative, in which we are going to, you know, start channeling our network into providing book support, eventually like workshop and seminar support, and hopefully, you know, we can leverage it into like some equipment and grant support and things like that for some of the hardest hit, you know, counties in the United States as far as economically. And unfortunately, you know, we have several of the nation's top 10 most impoverished counties, and the school systems and libraries there really are hit on a level that it's hard for people to even imagine. I mean, you have schools that struggle to get resources. This is like on a whole another level. I mean, they literally have, I mean, the library an entire semester can only, you know, generally get between 8 to 12 like new books for the library in an entire semester. So that gives you an idea about, you know, how, you know, strapped they tend to be. And I'm pretty pumped about getting our initiative cranking so that we can, you know, do some good stuff in the state and get some great support there. I know Tony's on board with that, with the Hydra Camp. That's going to be awesome. And to have him involved. And I know Tony's going to be part of the gang that also is going to be, I think, involved on the workshop seminar front down there too. And that's going to be moving this month. I mean, we're going to start getting info out. We're going to have a contact mailing address where people can send boxes of books. And when they get there, they will get photographed and identified, and so that we can provide, you know, like some documentation and everything of your donations, and you know tell you where exactly they're going to. And we're going to try to get, you know, as much testimonial kind of stuff from the other end as we can, so you can see how much of an impact this does make and how excited, you know, these kids will be and things like that. So that's all getting underway very, very shortly.
Yeah, I'd love to see kids see a different future than going down into an empty coal mine to die, you know?
Right. Or what I always talk about in Kentucky is the prevalent meth heroin culture, which is sucking so many people into it. And a lot of that crap, you know, I see it everywhere, not just Kentucky. I see it going on every state I go into, but it's just,
it's,
yeah, there's just so
here,
so much stuff going on, but it, when you have a depressed area, I mean, it's like a cancer that spreads rapidly. And so, yeah, hopefully that this can give a little bit of that positive light that gets people thinking another direction and get away from some of that crap. And, you know, that's a part of my motivation. You know, I have a lot of reasons why I'm definitely motivated to do it. But that's another one. It'll give kids another thing to look to get away from that kind of stuff. Because it is
It's hard to imagine only having those two fates. Die of black lung or shoot up heroin and die high off your mind.
Yeah. And unfortunately, yeah. That's what a lot of these area kids deal with. And that's what they see, and that's what they, you know, they're around, you know, that kind of thing. So,
they don't know any better.
Yeah, we're.
Either. So they grow up like that and become adults in that system.
Yeah, I know that Tennessee's not immune to that problem. I know you probably deal with that a little bit throughout the state.
We had Tennessee, Kentucky is probably the capitals of meth right now being made in just backwoods and different places like that, and all the way up into hotel rooms and
hollows,
where they blow up and stuff and contaminate the whole place. So,
oh yeah,
we've had that, you know, several different times down here. So.
Yeah, cause
and not really
cool.
In the, you know, outside areas, you know, sometimes, you know, it's right in the middle of Nashville. that a motel or something like that will blow up because somebody was in a motel room making meth.
And that's something that the creative world can do. I mean, it really can inspire. It really can tilt you into a very productive kind of mindset, because it does. In today's creative, I mean, it calls you to be disciplined. I mean, and to take a disciplined approach, not just in the honing of your craft, but to be organized in your business, be professional in the way you represent yourself. I mean, there's so many just lifelong benefits that can come out of, you know, like our kind of sphere that we can definitely bring to, you know, some of the kids in these areas. And that can pay big dividends, I think, in the long run. We definitely look forward to getting as many people involved as we can. And looks like Tommy B. Smith is going to jump aboard when the time comes around. He just put a note in the chat room about that. So,
excellent.
So now it's going to get crazy that Tommy B. Smith's involved. So
Steven, just yesterday we worked on my professionalism in terms of your business. So, I mean, definitely been an experience so far.
Yeah, full disclosure. Will is the very first official intern at Seven Star Press in our now 10-year history. So I don't know which sound effect to use to play for him. Whether I should play like a sad violin or perhaps this crowd cheer. How about the crowd cheer? There you go.
Yeah.
Well,
crowd cheer, man.
Sounds all right. I'll let smack the board.
I have to do my duties as a call screener now, and because we have a call coming in, and so I'll let you and Daniel chat for just a second, and I'll find out who we got next coming up here on the phone line.
Excellent. Now, Daniel, this may not be your genre, but to the business of speculative fiction, I'd like to give a great shout out to the afterlife on the birthday of a man who we wouldn't have jobs if he didn't create his world, J.R.R. Tolkien.
Yep.
He would have been 126 today.
That's cool. That was one of the first trilogies that I ever read.
Absolutely. First that I ever read.
I was a young kid, you know, riding in the back seat of my parents' car and everything on vacations, reading those books. And like I said, that's probably the first trilogy that I ever read and was engrossed in it. And people don't know that, you know, what he set out just to tell his grandchildren
a story,
you know, stories, and, you know, wrote them down and everything and became what they are today.
Yep.
You know, so he never set out to be an author at the time.
No, it was a side thing for him. He was a professor of Anglo-Saxon studies at Oxford.
Yep.
That was his main thing.
Are we talking Tolkien now?
It wasn't even a second thought for him.
Are we talking Tolkien right now? Or?
Yes,
we're talking
are.
Tolkien.
Because it's his birthday today, in case you didn't know, Stephen.
I did. I was about to say, I just came back and heard Oxford Anglo-Saxon Studies professor, and I was like, are they talking Tolkien?
We're talking Tolkien.
Without him,
well,
it would have a job.
The only Tolkien. You know, so.
Well, we spare no expense on the show. We definitely bring some of the greatest guests in the country onto the show. That's definite. And we're gonna spare no expense here. We're gonna play one of our cool sound effects before I bring on our caller, because you guys are gonna be ecstatic about this one. So hold on, I'm gonna play this here. There you go, noble
fanfare.
Medieval fanfare for none other on J.R.R. Tolkien's birthday. We have on the Star Chamber show, Tommy B. Smith. You are live, sir.
Hello, yes, Mr. Tolkien couldn't make it today, so I thought I would step in for him.
Well, you have a means of calling him hi, please.
Early 2018 show. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Take I have many messages for you to give him if you are in contact with him somehow.
I'll be sure to pass them right along.
Well, thank you, Tom.
We need an update on the Cimmerillion.
Yeah.
Mm, oh, yes. I'll be sure to ask.
Asking the number one question I had last week, it was about a week or two ago, would J.R.R. Tolkien actually have a Facebook and Twitter account if he was here today?
He should. I've been trying to talk him into starting one. I haven't gotten a response, but...
Oh, man.
I'm working on it.
I'm sure he would
radio
shake his
wave,
head and go,
maybe.
Oh, dear.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, thanks for joining us for the surprise call-in. Yeah, we found a way to lure you on, I guess.
Well, it's good to be here.
What do you have in the works for 2018?
It's been what,
He's
since 2017?
Yeah, I haven't talked to you since last year, man. Yeah.
Well, it sounds as if we've all got a lot planned for 2018. I think it should be a busy and good sort of busy, productive year for all of us. So it should be an interesting time. I'm sure our paths will intersect various points along the 2018 trail. Should be interesting to see how everything plays out.
Yep. Yeah, because you will be having your special project going on that we discussed a little bit on the Christmas Eve show, I believe it was.
Oh, yes, several eves ago. Yes, that'll be afoot, so certainly you'll see that around. And, new book release, and then that project will be going around, and who knows what else. I'm sure there'll be plenty in the works from all of us.
Yeah,
what is the new book release that you got coming?
What's that?
What's the new book release you've got coming?
Oh, that will be The Mourner's Cradle. That was set for early 2018, and it falls under the dark fiction banner, the sort of general definition I assign to a lot of my work. Because some of it's horror, but some of it, I don't really know.
Often
but it is darker in nature.
Genre. I like that.
Yeah, in other words, he needs to hang out like Carl R. Moore more. Carl R. Moore more. I didn't intentionally say that, just to point that out. But, yeah, you definitely need to hang out with him a little bit because, the two of you, yeah. I mean, it's like you have all the dark fiction stylings, a little horror and then this and then this and then this. And it's, it's cool not to be in total box as far as categorization.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you
allows you an artistic freedom.
Definitely, you defy categorization. So, another reason we like you. But that's definitely one book I will have to pick up on release day for sure, in print. Yeah, so I can get it in time to have you sign it when you show up at Imaginarium with your pyrotechnics and everything else,
and burn the entire building down. We have to move Imaginarium somewhere else in 2019, but we'll go out.
It'll be hard. Have you seen that place?
What's that?
Well,
it wouldn't be hard to burn it down. Have you seen it?
Oh, dear God.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, he was there. Yes, he was there.
Yeah.
I was around and about.
Woof.
Yeah. What's that?
Yeah. I was saying woof.
Oh, sorry. I thought we lost Tommy there. I was like, oh, no, technical difficulties. But, no, it's a really, really good convention center. But, yeah, we hope the hotel side improves a little bit this year. But
Not the restaurant, though.
Yeah, we will tell you straight. We won't sugarcoat things here. Yeah, we definitely intend to see some improvements on that side. As far as the convention center where the programming and all that takes place,
the center
it is a really nice layout.
Fine.
I'm sure it comes with any time you move a show to a new venue. You always have unforeseen complications or necessary adjustments, and I'm sure it just you roll with the punches however you can. But it was still a good show. So I'm sure 2018 will be a bit,
No, it's always an undertaking.
This is a good modifier for selecting hotels. Look at the curtains.
Yeah.
Look at the curtains.
But we want people to be able to afford to attend who are creatives, and that's and also have it be in an area of town that's good and safe and accessible, and there's a whole lot of other factors that go into it as well. I mean, and you have to weigh all of that when you're choosing a site. Plus, you have to get some place that has the amount of space you need for something like we do, and we literally make use of the entire convention center when we had Imaginarium last year. And of course, next year we will definitely fill it to the brim with programming and a lot of new things coming. So stay tuned. There will be a lot of new wrinkles in our programming and all kinds of things that are going to be very, very exciting. And but don't worry. It's still going to be as accessible as ever, as fun as ever, and have the vibe and tone that you've come to love. That won't change. But we always want to build around the core and keep advancing. And
more decisions,
keep making it tighter and better.
Can't miss.
What's that?
Said more decisions on what I can and cannot miss. Excellent.
Yeah. And you want? Well, we do have a kick-ass Toastmaster Tony Acree because we have you. Yes, he's saying you want a kick-ass Toastmaster at your convention, and I'm like, well, yeah, we do. We have Tony Acree as ours.
Before it was supposed to toast, though.
But. Tommy slipped slipped away. Well, Tommy's a multitasker. He actually popped up in the chat room to have he said, nothing like a perfect toast after a long night of drinking. There you go. Probably need actual toast after a long night of drinking.
Yeah.
Then Denny's is open till late.
The alcohol.
But anytime you get a bunch of riders together, odds are that at least a fairly sizable proportion of that group is definitely going to relax a bit, when night comes and formal programming is done. You definitely get a very laid back group at night, and that's not a bad thing, as long as everybody's safe.
Hey,
and
I'll be able to join
you
in about 23 months.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, you're not far off, Will. Not far off.
Nope.
But and when you do, we will all do a fine bourbon toast to you. But
okay.
But you'll have to behave next year.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's happening.
You'll be the one that's assigned to kind of keep an eye on Tommy while he's here and make sure he stays under control a bit. And Tommy even does his wildness without booze, so he's really dangerous.
I've got to make sure that Eric Jude doesn't get the Toastmaster drunk again.
We're okay on that. That problem's
good.
We made that.
Well, he has to perfect his toast.
Yeah.
So he makes multiple toasts throughout the night. Those are practice sessions.
We have to search Eric Jude's briefcases whenever he attends a panel. That's the main thing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. But it will be
looking
fun.
Forward
I mean,
to the next
and,
one.
Yeah, and we will have, like I said, barring like a meteor striking us, I mean, we will also have the full TV pilot finally to show. I mean, obviously it's going to be shown much, much, much sooner than Imaginarium, but we will have that to kind of throw in the mix, which will be a fun thing because we showed debuted a teaser trailer this past fall, and now we're on the home stretch of that one, so that's kind of cool. And a lot of good folks will be coming.
Should be interesting.
Give us a rundown of the top guest right now, Stephen.
Well, Hey, that's a good, I can't talk publicly about a few that we are in discussions with, but there are some pretty good announcements coming. Right now, our first Imaginator has been announced. That's Christopher St. Booth, who's a Sci-Fi Channel favorite, filmmaker, author, composer. I mean, he's extremely talented, very involved in paranormal investigation, ghost hunting kind of stuff. And his, you know, I mean, does it all. I mean, he's like the prototype creative.
And what a wonderful man that you ever meet.
Yeah, super, super good guy. And he's going to be there as our first announced Imaginator guests. We've got some really good ones I'm talking about, and I'm dying just to say names, but it's all I'm one of those people. I don't say anything until it's, you know, fully green lighted. But that'll be coming soon. We'll have some big announcements coming very shortly. We do have return of some of our spotlighted guests, some folks like Dan Jolly, Tim Wagner. I mean, we've got Tony Acree back as our Toastmaster. John Pica is going to be returning, and he's going to be, you know, of course, involved heavily with our entertainment side of things. And yeah, we've got a lot of great folks returning. And if you look at our guest list this year, you'll notice there's a lot of new faces on the first wave of guests that were announced by year's end. I think there's about maybe 60, there's a little over 60 at the moment. It'll grow up to be about 150 by the time Imaginarium hits, but we've got about 60 some up there right now. And I have not got a final confirmation on that, but I think he will be, because I think Bob Freeman is actually going to be coming this year. And I know that all those guys want to get together. And I think, you know, we get Peter Wellmerink and Shrewsbury and Bob Freeman and everybody in one spot. I think that alone will be a reason to come. Because that will be epic. Daniel has not had the chance to meet a couple of these folks just yet, I think. He met Shrews last year, but I don't think he's met Bob Freeman yet.
Down the row.
And Bob doesn't get out to a whole lot of conventions, so that's gonna be awesome. But he's a blast to be around. And then there's Peter Wellmer. Daniel may have met him as when he attended in the year prior to last year, because Peter was there that the year prior. And I think Peter is coming back this year, so I'm pretty hopeful about that. I know Michael West will be back.
Excellent.
And but yeah, we will have some major guest announcements pretty quickly here. Yeah, so, January kicks off. There's a whole lot of irons in the fire right now.
Man, I'd like to have my piece that I'm working on in somewhat halfway, nearly the halfway close to a readable condition by that time.
Yeah. It's gonna be neat. I mean, it's gonna be interesting to see how the year progresses, for sure. I mean, we're gonna, you know, definitely be working to build our, you know, of course, all of our shows, like this podcast, our Creative Scholar and YouTube show, you know, of course, the press, Imaginarium, the blog network, you know, all the, you know, of course, all the authors out there, you know, Tommy's doing some really creative stuff with his project coming up here in 2018. So he's doing some stuff that I think is going to be really interesting to watch. But, yeah, a lot of the authors that we've got attending, I mean, they've all got, you know, new projects coming out this year. And so, I mean, the road to the October kind of zone with Imaginarium, I mean, is filled with a lot of stuff, yeah, kind of pouring out and being released. And yeah, it's gonna be pretty fun. It's a lot of forward momentum.
Yeah, it's still early in the year. There's still a lot of potential. So between now and then,
positive.
Question: are we allowed to talk about the status of Raiden currently?
The only thing that I can officially say right now is that, you know, we, like I reported just earlier in the show, we do have a rough cut that we've gone over. There'll be a few tweaks to that. I mean, that's minor. But we are in the final phase with CGI, sound mixing, and score. And so we are in the final stretch. Right now it's the polish.
Well, nothing more
what I call
than
the
I
polish phase.
You.
And so that's nothing not going to be too much longer before we show that. And we'll be announcing,
excellent,
you know, screenings and things like that and all that, you know, and then, of course, going full throttle and finding a home for what we hope will be a full season. And that's next. So, yeah, the year definitely starts off very actively. And I can say that I am thrilled with the way it looks right now. I mean, it looks really good, and the performances are absolutely great. It really plays as an ensemble piece, flows well, moves well, pacing is good. It's going to be a tight, very, I think people are going to be really, really, really pleased when they see it. And I have caught what I use Tommy B. Smith kind of verbiage, you know. I think it has. I think it has potential. I think that it does have potential. Tony's asking
Power
if Jim Butcher is in Braden.
From what I'm seeing,
maybe we can get Jim for season one if we get a full season. Tony's asking about Jim Butcher and Raiden. I would like that. Oh man, but I never want to get too far ahead of myself on predictions, but just speaking personally, I was extremely, extremely pleased with the rough cut, and getting it clocked in, perfect timing, 53 minutes. My goal was to see the cut come in at about between 50 and 55 minutes, and it came in at 53, right there, perfect. So yeah, so the length, I mean. The length may wiggle a little
bit.
That's right
when
people
start to get bored. So
yeah, but it's definitely in that 50 to 55 zone that I had hoped for. So that's a big positive. And
I just got to keep the rest of them there.
Yeah, the performances are really solid. I mean, I think people are going to be really impressed with this cast. I mean, the way it all came together. I mean, really looks nice. So. We just have to do a little magic with the CGI, bring out some of our creature elements a little bit more and some of the snazz and pizzazz of that. We just got to get the sound mix tight, the sound effects, Foley and all that good stuff. And then we have to just make sure the, you know, the final music lays in good. And, you know, and I'm, you know, of course, Kylie's a genius at that, so I'm not too worried. So it's, yeah, we're definitely in the home stretch here. So worry not.
They're not out catching snow snakes too much this year, so
not yet. There's supposed to be a snow next week in Kentucky, so they're projecting a pretty good one to come in next week. So they might be at least Eric will be out
east coast
snow
right now.
Projecting the possibility of some snow snakes appearing.
Yeah, we hope so. I know. Yeah, we're all waiting for the sequel, Snow Snakes 2. And I can say that Snow Snakes will be screened at 1:40 p.m. on the Saturday of Imaginarium. That's a tradition now. So
why wouldn't it be?
That's hopefully we'll have a packed room for that one too. But that'll be fun.
Dad
that
barely missed it. He was wanting to see it real bad.
Who missed it?
And I told him. I just said, go to YouTube.
Yeah, you can't get away. But there's nothing like seeing it in a live venue, you know, with the fellow Snow Snakes fan.
Absolutely.
It's definitely a treat.
Quite enough. I've only seen it six times now, so I need to go back and watch it again.
Yeah, I've only seen it 31 at the current count.
Yeah,
so.
I've seen it a few times. I only have to see it about 26 or 27 more times to catch up with Steven.
I personally haven't touched it yet. It's on my list of things to do.
Oh, it's a must see. It's glorious. We just interviewed. We just, actually the latest Creative's Cauldron. If you want to see it on YouTube, the latest episode does interview Kylie and Eric live.
That.
They actually came for the actual recording of it. So we have them live in the studio,
yeah,
as they say.
How'd you get them out?
It was difficult. Eric out of his region is like. It takes a small miracle and a whole lot of sweat equity to convince him to get out of there. But yeah, we got him out, and he actually appeared in this episode with Kylie, and And if you watch, you may or may not see the actual snow snake. You could see a special treat in this one CGI-wise. So I'll leave you all to discover that yourselves.
So I want to know the secret to luring out Eric Jude. Did you have to, like, crack a bottle of Pappy Van Winkle or something?
It's
no, just regular bourbon.
Old Crow.
Yeah, regular.
That'll work.
That was the last time I had bourbon, by the way, was actually when they were here. So I guess it had a small part to play in it.
Makes sense.
But hopefully we can get Eric out again for another appearance.
Dubious, so.
Yes. Yeah, dubious. He actually sat there like he was, completely at ease for like the first part of the show, and just relaxed as could be. I mean, he was a good guest.
He is
very well behaved. Yeah. Those of you don't know, dubious is a cat. He is a cat. Everybody that does not know, but he was sitting there on the chair right next to me for the first half of the show. It was fun. We'll have to get him to say more next time, but he was kind of quiet.
Yeah, we'll have to get him to come back.
Yeah.
That cat is wonderful.
Yeah, I can't get him on the podcast. I've not convinced him to come on the podcast yet, but still working on that. I have to bribe him some good treats. But he's looking forward to a big year, too. He's got his Instagram and Facebook page, and, he's a social media celebrity, so.
You need to get your soundboard. That's what you need.
Yeah, I will have to work on that. Oh my God!
I think you have more followers than I do. So.
Yeah, Tommy will have to borrow Dubious, take him with him on his special projects in 2018. That'll add some cat pizzazz to the whole thing.
Play a key part.
One never knows. We're open to possibilities.
Yeah. It's awesome.
May steal the show from me, though.
Yeah.
Quite possibly.
May turn into Dubious's feature by the end of it.
Oh, yes.
El Dubioso.
Oh, man. Yeah.
El Dubioso.
just
wreck the whole thing like Brando in the Island of Dr. Moreau.
Oh, dear God.
Being a diva.
Yeah, dubious. Humanized, kind of a humanized version of dubious. Oh, my God. That'd be awesome.
Marlon Brando.
Yep. Oh,
well, you can make him a giant kitty.
Yep. He's a bowling ball as it stands right now. But
he's already.
He's a big kitty. But giant would be interesting. That would be. But
we have about turn his way into a giant bowling ball. It's a mess.
We have about 90 seconds left, so I want to give Tommy, especially, and Daniel a chance to, just give some quick info on how to find them. So,
absolutely, go for it.
All right. Well, I'm at TommyBSmith.com on Facebook at author Tommy B. Smith, and Twitter Pen of Chaos.
Oh yes, my favorite channels. And Daniel, because you got a lot coming up here, so tell folks where to find you for the new podcast. Well,
you can find me on 7 Star Press, and also at Facebook.com/ Daniel Doc Arthur, and I'll be doing a book signing on March 10th at Vanderbilt in Nashville, Barnes & Noble. That got pushed back a couple of months on me. It was supposed to have been January 20th, but the bookstore just told me that today or this week that it'll be March 10th instead at 2:00. I'll be doing a book signing and discussion of the book and reading there. And then you'll be able to find me at Imaginarium at the end of the year and any place else that I can get tied into.
You got it. And next Wednesday at 9 right. p.m. Eastern, we will have another Star Chamber show. And but for now, that is a good night to everybody. And thank you so much for joining us, Tommy and Will, and my awesome co-host,
Absolutely.
Daniel Dark.
All right.
Thank
good night,
you, Stephen.
Everybody. Good night.
Thank you.
Night.